This episode is brought to you by Gin & Co., author website design specialists. If you want a beautiful and functional website to promote your books and brand, reach out to Gin today. His work includes tailored, expertly designed professional author websites. I finally have a website I'm proud to share. And we've got a special offer for Words and Nerds listeners. Reach out today and get a free domain name and website hosting for the first year. You can get their website essentials package, includes domain name, website hosting, backup and security free for the first year with any website purchase. This is valued at $330 a year. Choose a website designed to bring your author brand to life. You can find more details about this special offer at ginand.co/wordsandnerds. Welcome to the 2024 series of the Words and Nerds podcast. I'm Danny B, author, publisher, and your podcast host. With over 1 million plays, thanks to you, listeners, readers, writers, creatives, teachers, librarians, and book lovers, thank you for coming along for the journey where we bring you relaxed and real conversations about writing and creativity. If you love an episode, you can leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram or Facebook at Danny V Words and Nerds Podcast. Or you can check out my brand new website designed by Gin & Co. at dannyv.com.au. Hi guys, we're here today to chat about my latest picture book release, Everyone Wants an Octopus Book, on Words and Nerds. And fortunately, as I don't want to just talk about myself and my book, I'm joined by two fellow authors who have picture books out with Hardy Grant's Brightlight imprint as well, Dr. Shulan Moore and Sandhya Parapakaran. A big thank you to Danny V for having us on Words and Nerds today, and welcome guys.
Hi.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. I'm so happy you guys are here. First of all, I'll just give you a bit of a background about my new book and then we'll hear about yours. So my new book is called Everyone Wants an Octopus Book, which just came out this March. And it's a book about an octopus called Inky who can't find any books with characters like them. And then their friend Quack the Duck tries to help, and together they find out all kinds of cool things about octopuses and decide that should definitely be in a book. So it's a story about representation, and it highlights that everybody deserves to see themselves in books, and it's illustrated by the talented Makoto Koji. So how about you guys? Shulan, let's start with you. What's your latest book about?
So my book is called Nothing Alike, and it's out with Brightlight as well. It's illustrated by Peter Chong, and it's all about a young boy, a little white boy called Ruben, who just can't tell his two Asian classmates apart because they just look so similar. And the book's all about how he sort of comes to solve this problem, and it's quite humorous. And the theme is based on the concept of hashtag sorry wrong Asian, where often Asian people are mistaken for other Asian people, and it can get quite annoying. So yeah, it's a lovely book. Sandhya, I heard some really great news about your book, your latest. You've got so many out with Brightlight, but I heard it was nominated as a notable on the CBCA Children's Picture Book Award.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That was so exciting to have Stay for Dinner a notable. So Stay for Dinner is my latest book with Brightlight, and illustrated by Michelle Pereira, who's illustrated all my books. And it's a book about a celebration of the different ways we eat food. The main character, Reshma, gets to go to her friends' places. She goes to three different friends' places and notices that they all eat food differently. Some eat with cutlery, and there's chopsticks, and there's twirling forks. And she compares it with how she eats at home, which is with her hands. And so she gets a little bit worried when her friends turn to come to her house for dinner, because they're having a sadhya, which is this big feast on a banana leaf with rice and lots of curries. And she's worried about what her friends will think when they see her family eating with their hands. So I really wanted to highlight Just the difference, not only the difference in eating with your hands, but the difference in table etiquette as well, which I thought was interesting, and that maybe not many people will know about that. So yeah, so it's a fun book, and it's beautifully illustrated and lovely colors as well. Michelle has used a beautiful palette, as she always does.
I agree. I absolutely love that book. It's so much fun as well, so vibrant. The illustrations are stunning, and it does highlight differences and the way we eat in a really, really humorous way for kids. So yes, I also feel so lucky to have my book out with Bright Light Publishing. They're just creating such amazing books. So I'd love to chat with you both about your thoughts about the kinds of books that Bright Light, who are part of Hardy Grant Children's Publishing, how they're making their mark on the kids' book industry and what kinds of things they stand for.
Yeah, well, I'll jump in with that. This is on that question. This is Shulin here. I think Bright Light, their sort of motto is books that help modern families shine a light on the world around them. But they also shine a light on tricky topics. And so I think that they're quite adventurous books because they do stretch the boundaries of what we might think is appropriate for children to think about. And I just think that they're very brave. So they oh, and they're just groundbreaking. So one of the more recent book, one of them recent books is Maymoona's Moon by Rosina Omar Guttar and Zeynep Halim. And it's the first Eid story to be published in Australia, for example. So they're always sort of cutting edge. In terms of Nothing Alike, it was a really, because it's actually talking about race, like it's actually talking about a white kid and two Asian classmates, that is considered, strangely enough, considered a bit controversial for some people, and for lots of publishers. They sort of just don't want to go there, in talking about race, so and some of the uncomfortable situations that happen around race in the schoolyard. But I was very, very grateful to Marisa Pintado, the publisher at Bright Light, who understood exactly what where I was coming from with my story, wanted to acquire it as soon as she saw it, and has championed it through highs and lows ever since. So I just say, Bright Light, you're doing a wonderful job. You're brave and fearless.
Amazing. And Sanji,
I
what do you
agree. Yeah, I completely agree. And they help with the curly conversations, and I think they do it in a way that is age appropriate, for that early childhood audience, just like your book, Shulin, with Nothing Alike. That's just the perfect book to broach that subject. And talk about it, because kids do notice that. I had someone tell me about their daughter who's in kindergarten, and noticed that one of their neighbors had like tan skin, and then she was saying, "Oh, and someone in my kindy has skin like that." So children do notice difference, and if you have like books like Nothing Alike, and they're just so done in that fun way, age appropriate way, but still broaching those topics which can lead on to conversations, that's just perfect. And I agree with you. I think Bright Light are doing a wonderful job at that.
yes, for sure. I think what they do really well is make kids books that are really kid-centric and fun. So even if they are about a more serious or even controversial topic, they do it in a really kid-friendly, non-didactic kind of way. So with my new book, Everyone Wants an Octopus book, the way this is achieved, I think, is through a few things. One of them is that it actually uses anthropomorphic animals. So this broaches the topic of representation in books. But instead of it being, a little bit too
messagey, which I guess it could be. It's done in such a fun way with these really cute characters. And because they are anthropomorphic animals, kids could kind of see themselves in either character, I think. So Inky the octopus can't find any stories with characters like them. There might be a lot of different types of readers out there that feel the same way. Because it's a little octopus, though, anyone can kind of, I guess, imprint themselves on Inky. Whereas if it was perhaps a particular child, they might still think, oh, well, that kid isn't like me, or their difference isn't the same kind of difference as mine. And then the other character, Quack the Duck, I guess represents the more common character in kids' books. And there'd be a lot of readers out there that will identify with Quack. But Quack is still, I guess, Quack has a lot of empathy and is a really good friend. And Quack also wants to shine a spotlight on all different kinds of characters. And they actually encourage Inky to write their own book about octopuses. So they are happy to share the spotlight, I guess, and also to champion underrepresented voices. So I'm hoping that readers will identify with either of these characters. And so the way it's done with the bright colours, the gorgeous illustrations by Makoto Koji, and also the fact it's dialogue only makes it really fun and kid-centric as well. Kids could even act it out. So I'd love to know more about you guys and your Bright Light books and how you think yours are kid-centric and fun as well. How about you, Shulman?
So this is Shulin. So with Nothing Alike, it's I think it's kid-centric basically because I stole it out of the mouth of my son. So I just took an episode that had happened to him in year two at school, and in the word in his words, I wrote it down, and then I altered it a little bit. But it represented an episode that we had just chatting about this situation at his school where he couldn't tell his classmates apart, and I was sort of teasing him and saying, "Really? Are they exactly the same? They're the same height. They've got exactly the same hair. They've got exactly the same skin tone." And I was sort of teasing him, and he was laughing because I sort of we sort of made it a game, and I was obviously teasing him, and he thought it was funny, and by the end he could see what I was getting at. And so then he went back to school, and gradually over a few weeks he did get to see the difference between those two girls. So that happened in real life, and then that has been conveyed in the book and just in funny ways. So, for example, Reuben says, they both look the same. They both smell really good. Not that I go around sniffing people, but then he describes their smells, and he talks about how one of them likes hash browns dipped in apple sauce, and that's always a source of great mirth when we read it aloud at the library, because everyone screws their face up and can't believe it. And then I say, "No, you shouldn't make judgments. You need to give that a go before you say that's disgusting." So, so that's how we've done it, through the language and the teasing, and then Peter's illustrations are just outstanding. I don't know how he's done it, but they're bright and gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a stunning book. I loved all those details so much, like about the apple shampoo and the peach squishy. I just thought that added this real layer of just adorableness, I guess. So it's taking a heavy topic and just making it so kid-friendly and fun. And yeah, it's so clever. I love
Thank you.
it.
And it's funny because that's what kids at that age actually care about. Like, if you listen to their conversation, it's all about peach squishies and, like those soft toys that they have. It's just all about all these little
Yeah.
kawaii cute things. So,
Yeah, you've got your finger on the pulse. And Sandhya, how about your latest book with Bright Light Stay for Dinner?
But before that, I just wanted to mention that I thought, Liz, your book was really clever how you were describing it there with being anthropomorphic characters. It would be so relatable, and the color palette that you just showed us before was so beautiful, and it just pops. The illustrations are so cool.
Yeah, I'm so lucky to have Makoto Koji illustrate. I can't take any credit for any of that, but she's amazing.
And for Stay for Dinner, I think it's because there's a group of friends. And they play sport together, they hang out together, and then they have the chance to eat at each other's house. So, and it's just, I think it's that interest, the curiosity that children have in just seeing things like, eating with chopsticks and the way, different ways that of the cultural etiquette at different people's places. I think they'll find that quite interesting and curious, as children are naturally curious, I think. That's how we've made it kid-centric.
Yeah, definitely. So I also think something that kind of unites all three of our books that we're talking about today, besides that they're with the same publisher, is the topics of diversity and representation. They're all kind of covered, I guess, in different ways in our books, in unique ways as well. So I think with my book, Everyone Wants an Octopus Book, it actually kind of weaves in a few non-fiction facts. And I guess the way that Inky, I guess realizes how unique and cool they are, and also Duck then wants to celebrate that. That kind of can be something applied to real life. So it's basically about celebrating what makes everybody unique and special, and therefore everybody should be in books. So I think that's a way that my book kind of tackles that topic of representation and diversity. So Shulin, how about you? How do you think what makes your book unique, I guess, in the way it covers that topic?
Well, in terms of dealing with the sorry wrong Asian issue, and that way that people are sometimes othered, like they're sort of put lumped together with other people, and like I saw it myself at uni. We had a large international Asian population, and often the Australian students didn't really talk to them because they sort of just put them in this big other group and didn't really make an effort to get to know them on an individual level. And I think that happens across all cultures. It's not just something that happens in Australia, but it's something that we all need to deal with in a multicultural society. And I guess I think it's unique to have the main character be the white boy, and he's the one. The girls aren't very active in changing the situation, because I personally think they don't need to be. It's they just should be living their life. And I think it's really good that the boy sees his issue and goes makes a big effort to change it himself, and he thereby learns to be a really better friend, and really an ally. And I think that's what we need to do in our society. So that's how. And what
Yeah,
about
100% agree with that, Shulan. That I agree with that. And with Stay for Dinner, I think the cross-cultural environment, because is highlighted in there. There is, because I feel I see the differences in the culture and etiquette and things like table manners, for instance, where it can be misunderstood, like if you don't know what the etiquette or what table manners are appropriate in another culture, like one can be seen as more superior than the other. And another one could be seen as rude because that's not what we do in this culture. But I think with Stay for Dinner, what it shows is that there are different etiquettes, just for people to be like, well, just to understand that you can be comfortable in this cross-cultural environment, and they're all right. All the for this, so there's a burp in the book at Reshma's house, and she's quite worried about that. But then, but at the end of the story, we just realize, yeah. In this family, the burp is a compliment to the chef, and it's fine, and you don't have to say excuse me. And that's it's not being rude. So you just sort of dispel that misunderstanding, because like when there is that sort of a misunderstanding, you can end up, I think you can end up like looking down or on different cultures because you don't understand. So hopefully that will sort of help help to dispel some of those misunderstandings.
Absolutely. I think it really would.
Sandhya, can I just jump in? I just am so glad that you mentioned the verb because I didn't want to say it, like, because it's a major plot twist. But I just feel that it is one of the most dramatic plot twists in a picture book I've seen for so long. And I remember you
Oh,
saying,
thank you.
but I remember you saying that when it went to America at Abrams, they were all like around, they were all saying how much they were all talking about the birth. And I think it's that sort of thing in a book that will just make people remember it forever. It's like, yeah, I remember the burp. And even the way that it's been set out on the page and the dark, the colors and the dramatic page turn, and oh goodness, such intrigue and drama.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you like that. I have to shout out to Joanna Wong, our editor, who she suggested the page turn and made it so dramatic like that. So that's Joanna's brains for that.
That is brilliant. I think everyone listening can agree there is so much to take away from all of our books, even that it's okay sometimes to burp. I'd also love, as well as talking all about our wonderful books, do you guys have any shout outs you'd like to give to any recent books by other creators that you've really loved that happen to tackle a topic in a really clever or unique way?
Sandhya, do you want to go first? I've just got a few here.
No worries. Yep, sure. I've got the From My Head to My Toes, I Say What Goes, by Charlotte Barkla, here with me, and I think that's really clever and age appropriate way of dealing with the topic of consent. And I really love it when I see books that are age appropriate and you can really use them for the younger ages. And I also have Ladybirds Do Not Go to Daycare by Ellie Rutstein and Nina Neal, which also it deals with the anxiety of not wanting to go to daycare, but in such a beautiful, beautiful way, and the story is just so gorgeous. So yeah, that's my two shout outs.
Well, yeah, I have three. So, What Happened to You by James Catchpole and Karen George is an amazing story about a disabled boy, an amputee, and the author, James Catchpole, is an amputee, so it's an own voices story. And it's just so clever in the way it is all narrated from the point of view of the boy, but it shows his very clever way of pushing back at the questions that sort of try to just other him, and which are silly, and he answers with very absurd answers, which highlights the silliness of the questions and how invasive the questions are, but it really empowers him and shows that he, yeah, it just, I think it would really help a child to understand what it is to be different and to be asked boring questions all day about that. And the other book is Vampire Peter by Ben Manley and Hannah Peck. And it's a very clever story about a vampire boy who's different, who comes to school, and how his actions are perceived. And there's an amazing twist in that one, like yours, Sandhya. And the last book I wanted to say was 11 Words for Love by Randa Abdel Fattah and Maxine Beniba Clark. And it covers 11 Arabic words for love, and it's all the different types of love that there are in the Arabic language. And so one of the types of love is al-shawq, a love that burns and yearns to touch homeland, heartland soil one last time. And then there's beautiful word al mahaba, the love between long-time neighbours, baked cakes, plant watering, small talk at night. So it's an exquisite book. I love Rhonda's book, you know, the Does My Head Look Big in This? Great. She's a great writer. And then Maxine Vanever Clark, her illustrations and her writing are amazing. So that's a great recommendation as well.
Fantastic.
Yep, so
I'll just quickly shout out to one I've really enjoyed reading lately. It's My Deadly Boots, and this is a picture book by Carl Merrison and Hekea Hustler, and it's illustrated by Samantha Campbell. And this one is about an Indigenous boy and his football boots. But I really, really love the way it uses this really rhythmic, gorgeous like wordplay throughout, and it kind of repeats the expression about the deadly boots. But, you know, it's a great story with its ups and downs when he actually loses the boots. And then it's got things all about things like my standing my ground boots, my truth-telling boots, making me too deadly. So it's kind of very powerful, yet other pages are really lighthearted and fun. So overall, it's just this really empowering story about a child and their deadly football boots. It's really, really gorgeous and beautifully illustrated as well.
Yeah, I love that one.
Great. Yeah, that's good. Great book.
Yes. So speaking of current Australian kids' books, I'd also just love to get you guys' thoughts on the current market and if there's anything you can think of that's missing that we still don't kind of have enough of in children's books here.
Do you want me to go first? Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I was thinking about laugh out loud books, like really funny books. And what got me thinking was the Russell Prize for Humour Writing, and how Leanne Tanner's Reader's Revenge got that award. And that was the one chapter book which I've in ages, like I actually laughed out loud after reading. And I think humour is a writing humour is such a talent, and I think it needs to be recognised more. And I'm so happy that that award exists. And I also think Nothing Alike, Shulan, your book has that element of humour in it, where it is very humorous way of tackling that tricky subject. So yes, those are the sort of books that I'd like to see more of.
Oh yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I agree with that. And yeah, I think sometimes we have a lot of slapstick humor in our books, but maybe less sort of sophisticated humor, which actually like a lot of people think that kids don't get that, but some kids do, and we need to be speaking to all our kids, not just sort of the lowest denominator, in my opinion. So I was thinking, I reckon we need more formulaic and light romance books for, well, you know, probably marketed at teens, but for the tween audience as well, so probably age 11 plus, I'd say. I just remember reading Sweet Dreams when I was that age, and Sweet Valley High, and I love them. And you know, they followed on from the Babysitters Club for me, and they were so easy to read. They had beautiful morals. Like a lot of them were very old fashioned. You look at them now, but they had beautiful morals about being true to yourself, consent, not settling in a relationship. So very good messages, and you know, you could just inhale them and they're lovely. So I think Australia, we haven't had them for a long time. We used to have them with the girlfriend ones, but I haven't seen them for a long time. And then yeah, just in our picture book space, I do think that we do need more books, and in the diversity and representation space, I think we do need more books that deal with the reality of living in a multicultural society. So not just books that celebrate, you know, festivals and holidays and food, although yours was a very quirky take on the food thing, Sandhya. But
Thank you.
I do think we need to actually speak about the realities and what's actually happening out there, like that situation that was happening that you mentioned before. So, but obviously in a child appropriate way and in a way that's not going to bore anyone. So I hope more books like that are published.
That all sounds good. I was also so into all of those teen romance books, the exact same ones you've mentioned, Shulin. So, yeah, I think I can see that there's a bit of a gap for more books in Australia like that. That would be so cool. Maybe you should write some.
Oh,
The new Sweet Valley High, be like, I don't know, something in Brisbane.
And do you have any ideas, Les, for that, the what you think's missing
Yeah.
from?
I think I just love reading, especially in picture books, about different cultures. And I feel like we are, thank goodness, getting a lot of books like that now. Probably still not enough, but lately we've had some Ramadan books and Chinese New Year books and things like that. But there's a lot of cultures you don't see much in picture books. So it'd be great maybe to hear some more African Australian stories in picture books. Pacific Islander stories. There is I Am Lupe, which was a recent one, but just more from cultures that you don't hear from as much that have so many amazing stories to tell and that kids could just learn so much from. So that would be mine.
That's
Cool.
great, Liz. I really agree with that because I'd like to see representation as well from like other Indian festivals because there are so many festivals around India, like but only the main ones get like the Diwali is always there. But like I come from the south and we celebrate different festivals like Onam, so it would be great to see books, and I'm sure there's like lots of children there who celebrate these other festivals, and yeah, you're right. I think there needs to be more of that as well. That's a great point, Liz.
For sure. Well, guys, I would love to keep chatting all day. We've got so much we could keep talking about, but it is time to go. Look out for all of our books. So Everyone Wants an Octopus book by me and Makoto Koji and Shulin's book.
Nothing Alike by Shulan Moore and Peter Chong.
Yep. And Stay for Dinner by Sandhya Barpulkaran and Michelle Pereira.
All right. And also, if anyone wants to follow us on socials, I can be found on Instagram mostly at Liz underscore Ledden, which is LEDDEN, or at my website, lizledden.com. And Shulin, how about you?
Yeah, I'm mainly on Instagram as well. I can be found at Shulan Moore, so it's spelt trickily, ZEWLANMOOR. And then my website is the same, shulanmoore.com. And I also have my old website, Byron Bibliotherapy. So BYRONBIBLIO therapy.com.
Yeah, and you can find me on Instagram as well. You can either search for library bag books because I review books on Instagram, mainly picture books, or you could search for my full name, Sandhya Parpukaran. It would be easy if you have one of my books and can just spell it off my book. Otherwise, do you want me to say my spelling here? Because I think it's don't know. Sandhya is my first name, and my last name is Parpukaran. Yeah, so you can find me at my website, which is sandhyaparpukaran.com, or on Instagram.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. Oh, yes.
Sorry, Liz, can I just add in, just when you were talking about the African books, I don't know if you've seen this new one that's out, To and Fro by Anton Clifford Mattopi.
No.
So I just looked it up because I know he's coming to Romancing the Stars with us soon. And this is his debut middle grade novel. And so I just thought you'd like to see that. It's a To and Fro, it's a play on words of about his afro.
Oh, that sounds cool. Okay,
Oh,
thanks. I'll
wow.
look out for
Check it out.
that. Yes, definitely. All right, thank you so much, guys, for joining me today and for celebrating my new book, Everyone Wants an Octopus Book, and also for sharing lots more exciting stuff about your own books. And a big thank you to Danny for letting us take over Words and Nerds.
Thank you, Liz.
Yay! Thank
And
you.
all the best for
Thank
your book. And thank you
you.
to Danny as well.
Yeah, and we love you, Liz, and we miss your voice on One More Page podcast. So it's
Oh,
very
that's
nice to have
nice.
you here.
Well, it's so nice to connect and to chat and to share more about our books. It's been so much fun. So thank you. Thank
Thanks.
you.
Ingrid Laguna is a multi-award-winning novelist and educator. Her books include Bailey Finch Takes a Stand, one of my favorites, Sunflower, Songbird, and Kit and Arlo Find a Way. Ingrid, you also have a new writing course, Writing with Ink. Tell me all about this.
Writing with ink. Ink is actually my nickname. And so, what I think will work is small classes. And what I think will work is genuine feedback from myself and from the other people's writing peers during the course. I wanted to share the things that I find to be really critical in writing, and that is that it's really hard to finish. It's really hard to persevere when the going gets tough. But all of these things can be done. And I think that if you know that these things are important, and you know that it's normal to have self-doubt, and you know that it's normal that even though your idea might be inspired at the start, you are going to hit a point most likely that it doesn't feel inspired anymore.
Signing up, ingridlaguna.com, and be ready for those courses. Thank you so much, Ingrid, for putting this writing course on for writers.
Thanks so much for having me, Danny B. It's always such a pleasure. I love you.